FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Greetings, and welcome to The Right Stuff for September 13th, 2021. The subject of our broadcast today is the enemy within. Let us face the facts, folks. We are at war. Cultural war. Economic warfare against us, military warfare against us, And I'm going to say it quite openly, I feel naval action brewing. I've had a very interesting last 2 days. Last night at about 2 o'clock in the morning, as I often do just to relax at the end of the day, I checked in on Turner Classic Movies. And what they had was a silent movie called The Flying Fleet, which is about the early days, the earliest days of naval aviation. It was a movie that starred a silent screen actor named Roman Navarro playing a young flight cadet in the first U.S. Naval training schools in San Diego and Pensacola. I thought I would watch it for just a few minutes, but it was just riveting. A wonderful story about the U.S. Navy, about the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the kinship that is formed by men serving together on ships. In this case, it was the aircraft carrier Langley. The very first aircraft carrier that we had was a runway built on top of a freighter. It didn't even have that conning tower. The conning towers were put on aircraft carriers later when it was realized that it made it a lot easier for the pilot to land the plane with a reference, a vertical reference. But these amazing men were landing on a floating raft, basically. And it told a very, very, as I said, a very gripping and an emotional story about the first flying school in Pensacola, about a rivalry for the affections of a beautiful young lady, about the first flight from San Diego to Honolulu, which resulted in a crash, terrible crash, with 3 or 4 survivors. One survivor sacrifices himself so that the other 3 might live. And in the climax, the 4th pilot of this crew, of this group that had bonded together, finds the crashed seaplane, and in order to save them, he springs a fuel leak and he sets his plane on fire right over the crash site, parachutes out, lands, swims over to the wreckage of the seaplane. And in the end, they are all rescued. Then today, I turned it on again, and there was Navy Blue, kind of a comedy, farcical, pre-war Navy movie getting ready for World War II. It was made in 1940. Martha Raye, Jack Oakey, Jack Haley, the man who played the straw man, or the tin man, I should say, in Wizard of Oz, in a very pro-Navy movie before the war. But this afternoon, I relived World War II as my father lived it. My father was a merchant marine captain who joined the U.S. Army when the Nazis invaded Yugoslavia. And he served in the Army Logistics Corps as a captain of a transport that was transporting fuel, armaments, weapons, and soldiers to Europe and to Russia to help our allies win the war. It's a movie with Humphrey Bogart. It is, I consider it one of the greatest movies Humphrey Bogart ever made. And it moved me very deeply to remember all the men who sailed the seas to preserve freedom in our country. But I have this sensation that with what happened in Afghanistan, these films are a message that something is gearing up, specifically in the Pacific, that's going to involve the U.S. Navy. And of course, the enemy without is Red China, that has this stalking, prowling Southeast Asia, the Philippines, threatening Japan, threatening Taiwan. Perhaps you can hear the thunder outside. That's real. I'm going right now. I'm having a wonderful thunder and lightning storm. So if you hear any thunder, it's not a special effect. So today we're going to go into the subject of the enemy within, because we are being attacked on every level. As I said, culturally, that's been obvious for the last couple of years from the Democrat Party. Economically, that's been obvious for the last year and a half from the Democrat Party. Militarily, we've just surrendered Afghanistan to the Red Chinese because the Manchurian candidate, the resident of the United States, that's president without a P, the resident, Joe Biden, is a Chinese pawn who usurped power of the United States and is now hell-bent on turning us into a communist country. I don't think the message could be more clear to anyone who has his eyes open. And my heart is open to enlisting your aid to form freedom brigades to thwart this plan, to overwhelm us. I have some good news. The courts, we are a land of law and order in the truest sense of the word. And our laws and our order is mediated by the courts. And we just had two victories in the courts to defend us from the COVID communist tyranny that they are trying to impose upon us. The first victory is the victory in federal court of Governor DeSantis, who passed a law that he would fine any business that decrees forced vaccination for its workers $5,000 for every infraction. So you can imagine what that would cost a company of 100 employees if the company tries to force vaccination on 100 employees. Multiply that times 5,000. And I think that is going to be a very dissuading proposition to any business owners in Florida who want to join with the communist conspiracy, the cabal in Washington. The other victory is in Kentucky, where the Kentucky legislature overrode a veto from the governor banning mandatory vaccinations and forced masking. So we are engaged in a huge, huge counter-revolution. They started a revolution for communism. Well, we are Americans and we are counter-revolutionaries now. And I think we have turned the tide. A little later, I'll read you an article about India. India has charged one of the doctors of the World Health Organization with mass murder. Before I go any farther, I would like to welcome my co-hosts, Andrew Curry and Peter Basulka. And Andrew will give us the cross-border perspective, and Peter will give us another chapter of Wealth Creation Revelation, which he began last week. Some of you took part and took advantage of his offer of a book on Wealth Creation Revelation. So we'll go into that at the end of the show. In the second hour, we are going to explore the extraterrestrial connection to the Great Reset. So that said, let me turn to Andrew Curry so that he can begin his cross-border perspective. And you have an election tomorrow, don't you, Peter?
Oh, Andrew?
Yeah, not Peter. Andrew, we have an election in California. I'm going to talk about that one, too, a bit later. But
yeah, Robert, 1 week from tonight. So in a week from tonight, we're going to know who our next ruling political party is and who our next prime minister will be, whether it'll be Queen Justine returning again. If he does, Robert, I believe he would have a reduced minority government. You know, in Canada, it's a parliamentary system, so it's first past the post in terms of the number of seats in parliament, so 50% plus one. But if you hold a minority, you can be defeated very quickly, which I don't think would happen. But right now, the polls say that the Conservative Party, led by Aaron O'Toole, is leading by 35%. So 35% of Canadians say that they will vote Conservative, and 32% say they will vote Liberal. And it's looking bad for Trudeau, Robert. He has become a disaster. This guy, you know, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but we had our English and French debates, which, by the way, the Canadian the Canadian People's Party was not allowed to participate in. Maxime Bernier was not allowed to become to be part of that conversation, which was very odd. And they tried to block Rebel Media from being involved in asking questions. Well, Rebel Media took the government to task, and Trudeau sent seven lawyers. Rebel Media won. The judge overruled and said, nope, Rebel Media can come in to the debates and ask questions. And boy, did Trudeau have hissy fits. Now, in the second part of the debate, which was, I believe, the following day, which was the French language one, most of the leaders wouldn't even answer questions from Rebel News. So, yeah, that's a week from now. But what I really wanted to talk about tonight, a couple things. The British Columbia vax passport is now officially here. And I want to read to you a couple of items. And then I want to circle back to thank you, Jen, for that. I'm going to circle back to the title of the show and the idea that we are having an infiltration from within. I have definite proof of that as I walked by my son on a Zoom class from UBC. So let me read this to you about the vax passports. So starting today, public health officials and Premier John Horgan in British Columbia will expect certain non-essential businesses to request ID and confirm that patrons have received at least one COVID-19 jab by looking through customers' medical information. By October 24th, the province expects certain businesses to only allow patrons who have been injected with two COVID-19 injections and agree to disclose such private information to their employees to be allowed entry. Now, listen to this. The team in charge of this vaccine passport have offered no exemptions for certain unjabbed individuals. That means even if you have recovered from COVID-19 and therefore have much greater immunity to the virus than someone who is double jabbed, you will still be denied entry to certain businesses if you aren't also vaccinated. Likewise, like those who are unable to get the vaccine for religious or medical reasons, like 22-year-old Tenley Ksoul, who hasn't been able to walk since shortly after receiving one Moderna shot. This is a true story. This 22-year-old lady had her first Moderna shot. She can now not walk, and she too will be barred from restaurants, community centers, and a list that I'll briefly go over. Now, what I'm reading from is from Rebel News, and the writer is one of the reporters, Drea Humphreys, and she's wonderful. She's our only Rebel reporter here in British Columbia. And so that's where I'm getting this information from. Now, I want to read to you. Oh, before I read the list, let me pass this along. So Premier Horgan says that customers who are not willing to show their digital papers will be subjected to a $575 fine to be issued by cannabis inspectors, health inspectors, community safety units, I don't know what that is, gaming investigators, and bylaw officers. So let me read to you, this won't take long, the list of things that now, if you don't get yourself double jabbed, or well, single jabbed and then double jabbed by a certain time frame, like I mentioned, you won't be able to do these certain things. By the way, Robert, I think last weekend I was mentioning numbers, and I think I got totally confused. So in Metro Vancouver, I mentioned that we have a population of about almost 2.5 million, and I said that over 700,000 people don't even have any jab at all. And I said that was, I think I might've said that was 50%. That's about 30-ish percent, maybe 34%. Still a significant number. So excuse my math, folks, if anybody caught that. Anyways, so here it is. These are the things that people in British Columbia can now not do okay, until the government revisits this whole program in January of 2022. Indoor ticketed sporting events with more than 50 people. Indoor concerts, theater, dance, and symphony events with more than 50 people. Licensed restaurants and cafes that offer table service, indoor and patio dining, even if you're outside, including liquor tasting rooms in wineries, breweries, or distilleries. Pubs, bars, and lounges, indoor and outdoor dining. Nightclubs, casinos, and movie theaters. Gyms, exercise, dance facilities, studios, and these activities happening and those activities happening in recreation facilities. And remember, our recreation facilities are paid for by who? The community. So we're not going to be allowed to go into something that we pay for now. Businesses offering indoor exercise fitness, indoor adult group and team sports for people 22 years old or older. Indoor organized events with 50 or more people. For example, weddings and funeral receptions outside of a funeral home. Organized parties, conferences, trade fairs, and workshops. Indoor organized group recreational classes and activities with more than 50 people like pottery, art, and choir. Post-secondary student housing. Spectators at indoor youth sporting events with more than 50 people. Now, listen to the weirdness of what you can go and do. So these are examples of places that don't require proof of vaccination. Grocery stores, liquor stores, and pharmacies. Unlicensed restaurants that don't offer table service. For example, fast food. So I can go to McDonald's and Burger King and get stuff. Coffee shops, food courts, food trucks, and takeout. Tasting rooms without seating attached to wineries, breweries, or distilleries. So I guess Bonnie Henry will be okay there because her winery, her and her husband's winery, will be open for business both ways. Local public transportation, BC Transit, TransLink, and BC Ferry. So you now can't even get onto a bus. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You can get onto a bus. What am I saying? And remember, buses are busy. Buses are loaded, especially during rush hour. Salons, hair salons, hairdressers, you know, nails and all that stuff, and barbers. Hotels, resorts, cabins, and campsites. See, these are all the things you can do, unless it is a setting or event covered by the PHO, that's the health, the provincial health office order. For example, a licensed hotel, restaurant, wedding, reception, or conference. Okay, swimming pools, unless it's the location of an event, and skating rinks. So how does that work? I can't go into a recreation center that has a swimming pool because I love to swim, but I can go into a swimming pool. How does that work, Robert? I don't get it. Banks and credit unions, retail and clothing stores, public libraries, museums, art galleries. Again, these are all places I can go to unless they're at the location of an event. Food banks and shelters can go there. Escape rooms, laser tag, indoor paintball, arcades, and bowling alleys if they are unlicensed or don't offer food-related table service. So us that aren't going to take this job can go bowling. Post-secondary on-campus cafeterias. So my son, who's currently going to the University of British Columbia, which is what I want to end up on, circle back to, can go to the cafeteria out on his campus. Airport food courts and restaurants, healthcare services, rehabilitation or exercise therapy programs, and drug and alcohol support group meetings. Social services provided to people in need. So it makes no sense, Robert. It's all over the place. Let me give you an example. So my son, he's 22, and he is a lifeguard in our local recreation center in the pool that I just mentioned. Well, according to our chief health officer and Bonnie Henry and the Minister of Health, Adrian Dix, he can go and work. He doesn't have any of these jabs. As long as he wears his mask, everybody has to, whether you have it or not. So he can go to work in a recreation center. But as soon as he's finished his shift, he's not allowed to go into the fitness center. He can't go into the pool. How does that make any sense? It doesn't.
It doesn't. It sounds like you have been loaded down with a lot of schizoid laws that are intended to put the entire population into a state of cognitive dissonance. And schizoid laws are consequences of schizoid leadership. One thing I've noticed about Queen Justine, when he gets upset, he starts to lisp.
Yeah.
He can't say S's. So all of a sudden, he starts saying, you people are going to really learn because this is not going to be the way we do this thing in Canada. So I do, I have a Cape of Good Hope passage, you know. I have many friends in Canada, and many of them have been supporters of Trudeau. And I suppose you have early voting in Canada, I understand, yeah. Because my one of my friends up in the Yukon, practically, he's way up north in the mountains, he told me he was adamantly against us, against Trump, pro-Biden. But he wrote to me that he had voted last weekend, and that he had decided to vote against Trudeau and vote for the Conservatives. Now, you brought up an interesting point. Americans, we don't understand this very fine point of distinction between the American system. We go to the polls and we elect a president and vice president directly. Canadians go to the polls and elect ministers to parliament who are representatives of the people, and then those ministers, according to their party, then elect a leader, correct?
Basically, that's how it works? Yeah.
So you don't vote for prime minister directly. You vote for it indirectly by assuring somehow that whoever's going to be leading has a majority, however slim it may be. Is that correct?
Exactly. That's absolutely correct.
Now, here's a very interesting point. You know, I've considered England, the Dominion of Canada, the Commonwealth of Australia, the Commonwealth of New Zealand, all to be one entity.
Yes.
But I'm very surprised that Canadians have not been notified that last week England rejected the COVID passport outright. They had these massive demonstrations, and I've been asking the British to get off their knees and get on their feet, and bravo, I applaud you. They had such massive demonstrations all across England that when Boris Johnson was told that the Parliament was going to pass a COVID passport law and mandatory vaccination, he saw the writing on the wall and he told them, I'm not going to sign it. I'm going to veto it. Also, in Spain, and this was a while ago, this was, I believe, August 25th, or might be even August 9th, the Supreme Court of Spain decreed that COVID passports are unconstitutional. So none of the provinces like Catalonia and Galicia and those other Spanish states, they were passing COVID restrictions and COVID passport rules. But the Supreme Court of Spain, in its wisdom, saw and decreed it's unconstitutional. Up to 6 million people each weekend in France are protesting the COVID passport. They are parking themselves and having picnics in front of the restaurants that they're not allowed to visit. And there's a bit of head knocking with the local gendarmerie. Now, Australia, please wake up and smell the concentration camp. They are there. They're already being populated. And New Zealand, I pray for you. You voted in a crack-smoking witch who has totally deceived you and now has turned New Zealand basically into a penal colony. So you have my sympathies, but you have to wake up and you have to start beating this back. I salute the truckers in Australia who did bring a stop to the situation there. And in New York, we're having massive demonstrations against COVID passports and marches. And the New York Police Department, God bless them. I believe that I live in New York City because I love my city, but I also respect and I love the New York City Police Department. They're good guys. They're all college educated. They're wise. They are street wise. They have common sense. And they have told Mayor de Blasio that they are not going to enforce any COVID passports nor endorse mandatory vaccination. So Well, that's the good news.
Yeah. It's very interesting, Robert, like of the list of so-called vax officers that are going to be patrolling this, the police aren't included. It's very, very interesting. Speaking of that, Robert, just to kind of jump out for a sec, we had a couple of very interesting protests against these sort of mandated vaccines, especially for the frontline workers. Last week in Calgary, a whole series of firemen, I'm assuming police officers too, they were mostly men, there were women there too, they're very fit young men mostly, and they did a protest in front of their city hall in the city of Calgary, Alberta. And it was done in this quiet reverence. They all stood at attention, faced City Hall, and they quietly stood there. It was very, very eerie. Well, the same thing has happened. I believe it was Ontario. I think I shared that earlier with you. It's a very, very interesting thing what's going on, Robert. You know, there's almost this more profound, how do I say this, delivery of the meaning when it's quiet and all of the... They look like soldiers. Like again, yeah. these police officers. I'm assuming, definitely firemen, ambulance attendants, and they're basically saying, "No, we're not going to follow what you want us to do to our bodies." It's a very and, you know, I think I mentioned this to you as well. Is that, you know, in all of this, I haven't heard too much about the Canadian military saying too much or what's happening with them. Now I haven't dug deep enough, perhaps to. Make a real, you know, informed comment about it, but it's been very, very quiet on the military front. And, you know, saying that, it's not something that we're seeing worldwide either. We see a lot of police officers trying to enforce this stuff, but, you know, militaries worldwide seem to be quiet. But Robert, I wanted to mention something that you said about the vaccine passport. So a question was asked to Dr. Theresa Tam, the World Health Organization lackey, who is our, you know, Canadian chief health medical officer, and one of the reporters asked a question saying, is there any statistical data to show that by implementing vax passports, people are more likely to get injections? And I have a feeling that that reporter, because this is fairly new in Canada, Quebec, Manitoba, Ontario, and British Columbia, British Columbia just today, are the only ones to implement this so far. I'm wondering if that reporter was referencing like the wider world. And Theresa Tam admitted that they don't have any statistical data. And I want to read to you a little bit of what she said. She said, we are watching very carefully what happens, okay? We don't have good evaluation or statistics, except that provinces individually have said, I think in the media, that they saw an increase in uptake, Tam explained. Yeah, right, I don't believe that. Anyways, regarding what tools do work for increasing uptake, Tam told the reporters that some of it is just trust building, getting influencers, youth influencers, people who can get to social media, TikTok in particular. And remember, she's Chinese. She's from Chinese descent. She is also a right-hand lady, or, well, my wife thinks that she might be trans, a right-hand something of Tedros in the WHO, while also encouraging local health units to run mobile clinics at workplaces. What I'm interested in is an actual study, of course, of the full range of approaches, said Tam, before returning to the previous question about passports and mandates, adding that any potential benefit of these measures remains to be seen. So they don't even have a statistic to show that it works. But Robert, on the topic of the title of our show, Infiltration from Within, well, I was shocked when I walked by the Liberty.
The enemy within.
The enemy within, yes. When I walked past the living room just earlier before I came down to get ready for the show, my son, Quinlan, who's been on the show on one Sunday, who talked about cryptocurrencies back in the summer, I believe, or early summer, he goes to the University of British Columbia. Now, there are a lot of students, a lot of international students, in particular, a lot of Asian students that come here. Now, there's a bunch of different Canadian universities and colleges that have demanded that their students be double jabbed unless or they can't have classes. And what's interesting is that UBC has not. What they want to implement is some sort of rapid testing, which, by the way, Robert, and I know we've discussed this off air because it's, you know, caused my son some consternation, is they're not even telling him or any of the students who are unvaxxed how the test is to be implemented, where it's happening. Like, they're being very, very cagey about the whole thing. So he has been to campus. That was on Friday. That's before these mandates came in. And today he was online because basically three of his four classes were online and one was an option to be online. Well, let me tell you what happened. I walk by and I see, the face of a Chinese man, you know, on the Zoom call, and he's babbling away. And it's, I knew it was Quinlan's political science course. I was aware of that. And then I started to hear the things that this guy was saying. He was saying, don't believe anything you're hearing in the media about China. Do not pay attention to what the mainstream is saying about China in any negative light whatsoever. And on and on. And then he began to talk glowingly about the Chinese social credit system. And I looked at Quinlan. He was muted. And I said, where is this guy? He goes, he's in China. I said, your political science professor is in China teaching Canadian students about political science? He said, yep.
Well, Robert, that says it all.
That says it all, man.
It's an electronic invasion as well. I'd like to turn now to Peter Basulko. He and I had a very interesting conversation earlier. He brought to our attention a military whistleblower who's been anonymously speaking via YouTube and other audio-visual media, but not revealing his face or his identity. Apparently, he's a captain in the U.S. Army. And it brought up a very interesting topic, which is one that I've broached a few times here. There's something in the background. There's an overt assault, but it's a covert operation to hide something else. And I have mentioned before my sense that there is an extraterrestrial connection to what is going on. And so Peter's going to talk about that. If we have time during this first part of the hour, I'm going to talk about the death of Michael Jackson, but I probably will save it for the second half, because it's all connected with the culture war. And yesterday I had a very interesting program with a lady named Kat McGuire, who's a rally and march organizer against COVID passports, and she's been organizing, we've been organizing freedom brigades. So I would like people in the audience to consider joining our Freedom Brigade, Morningstar Freedom Brigade, to fight back, to protect the Constitution. Because as I said yesterday, what defines us as Americans is the U.S. Constitution. It's not the dirt that we were born on, because to be American means special characteristics and special gifts from the Creator, no less. And without the Constitution, we will not be the people whom we have thought we are, whom we call Americans. So the death of Michael Jackson was an Illuminati New World Order murder to kill the King of Pop. And I realized since writing that essay that the reason was that they wanted to kill the music. They wanted to kill the joy, the beauty, the happiness of the music of Michael Jackson, which was very much like the Beatles. It made people feel love and happiness just for being alive. It also induced a lot of romance. And so in order to kill those concepts, which is part of the culture war, they had to kill the King of Pop. And in the second hour, I will read the essay that I wrote yesterday and then expound a little bit more on this topic. They killed the music so they could bring in the filth, the perversion that has characterized rock music for the last, well, he died in 2009, but it was about 10 years ago that the rap music took hold with the most disgusting and despicable lyrics. Talk about woman hatred, when the only word you use for a woman is a hoe, right? And the N-word is every other word in black music. It's really repugnant to me. So We'll go into that later on, but let me turn to Peter Basulka. He's going to give us a synopsis of the revelation, as they call it, the whistleblower. Whistleblowers reveal things, so they are revelators or revealers. And so let me turn to him, and then I will cue Peter for a short talk, but to encourage people to get aboard the wealth creation revelation. So, Peter Basulka.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So I was compelled to watch this whistleblower's video today for some reason. A friend had sent it to me, and I sat down for an hour and watched the video in entirety. And he was special forces in the Army. He had very high security clearance. I forgot what you call it, but something 13, he was like some 13th level, which gave him access to the DUMs, you know, the deep underground military bases located in the United States. And you know, what he had mentioned is he can only talk about stuff that's already been leaked out. Otherwise, you know, he could be thrown in jail for the rest of his life if he violates his security clearance. But he did say that, you know, he's seen firsthand military bases the size of Manhattan located underground, crop fields, cattle. They have their cattle down there. They have cities, really, with McDonald's and everything that we have on the surface. And he didn't have clearance to go into certain elevators, so he has no idea what could be there. But you know what he did remind me of is, you know, who's really running things and where they're located. And, you know, they're located under our feet. You know, we have a faction of the military that's completely sold out on the Constitution and are really enemies of the American people. And that's what they use smartphones for, you know, to identify dissidents. And they either destroy your life or kill you. You know, the smart television that spies on you, your smartphone that spies on you. And they know what we're doing all the time. They know what we're saying all the time. They're always monitoring us. And he reminded me of, you know, who's running around down there. So you have the elite, and then you have these weird soulless gray alien guys that are just kind of like worker bees, you know. And also you have these aliens, and I'll defer to you on their name, but they're the ones with the cone heads. And they seem to be a blend between humans and angels. You know, he doesn't know if they're running things, or but what he does know is they have a deal with a faction of the US government to live secretly on Earth. And yes. So you know, he went into talking about how these DUMs are connected by tunnels. And high-speed railways, and how the trains actually hover over the rails, and they use magnetic forces somehow. Yeah,
magnetic levitation.
Mm-hmm. And
they also create a near vacuum in the tube, so that it's almost frictionless, and I've heard that these trains can go from New York to Los Angeles in 45 minutes underground. It's a military operation. They were planning those back in the 1960s and 70s. I remember the plans. I'm not surprised. I would like to recommend to everyone, there's a film available on Tubi, which is another platform, and much, much better than YouTube. The quality is superior. It's called Tubi, T-U-B-I. And if you go there, I think it's tubi.tv, you can find a movie, documentary, about Charles Hall that's called Walking with the Tall Whites. And I suspect that it is the tall whites that have overwhelmed the U.S. government. The United States government, as I have told you on this program and on the Morningstar Report, I discovered a letter written and signed by J. Robert Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb, along with Albert Einstein, a white paper, as they call it, which is recommendations that they were making to the United States government and specifically to MJ-12, recommending strategies for absorbing, that's their word, how to absorb celestrian or celestial races that have decided to settle on Earth. They did not request, they did not apply, they just decided to settle on Earth and were technologically superior. So Einstein and Oppenheimer, in my belief, betrayed the human race by recommending four pathways to absorb this extraterrestrial race that has decided to settle on Earth. The fourth one is the most important one because that's the one that they adopted, and that's what gave birth to the deep state and the secret government. And that was to draw up an agreement with this extraterrestrial race that would ensure the survival of our culture, that would give them settlement rights and privileges, and I call ranging rights, roaming rights, or hunting rights, but that would keep their presence strictly secret from the rest of the world. This is what led to the secret government, to the deep state, to the military-industrial complex, to the enforcement of silence and the silencing of individuals who knew too much or who had contact, direct contact with UFOs or worse, were contactees or abductees. The agreement was formally signed in 1954 at Holloman Air Force Base by President Eisenhower with renewals every 10 years. But about 2008 or 2010, the aliens balked and said, no, we don't want this treaty anymore. We want to come out into the public. And they claimed that we need their help to clean up the earth from the pollution that we're doing. And I think that the big climate change hysteria, which I think is totally bogus, is part of a psychological strategy to force themselves upon us. And I believe that what they want is they want to walk freely amongst us, but not as equals, as superiors. And for that reason, the UN and the United States deep state government, the secret government, has made a deal with them to cull our population to open areas, land areas, and ocean areas for their population expansion, and to place our human populations on reservations in a manner similar to what the United States government did to Native Americans and to what the British and the colonialists did in other countries. So we are not only fighting for our culture, we're fighting for our lives, we're fighting for our homeland, a term that has been very sullied by the Homeland Security Act and the dictatorial laws or protocols that they've installed. See, I call a law when it is constitutional. When they pass rules that are unconstitutional, I do not consider them laws and they should not be obeyed. So we'll talk more about the enemy within. And that was a term. It's the name of a book by Robert F. Kennedy that he wrote back in the late 50s and early 1960s, exposing the role of secret societies and the mafia, which are all part and parcel of this occult cabal. They are a religion. They worship Lucifer. They worship Satan. They engage in the most heinous of activities. One of their plans was to drug all the children of the world. And that was one of the things that Michael Jackson was out to expose. But we'll talk about that later when I read my essay. We'd like to turn back to Peter. You have a couple more minutes to expound on the dumb bases and this, the revealer. And then I will cue you on the time for us to engage in the discourse. Actually, this is a good time because We have to break at 10:57. It's 10:49. So why don't we go into the wealth creation revelation now?
Sure. I would like to take 60 seconds to wrap up this segment about this, you know, the secret government and these aliens. You know, I made a list here of 13 things that I could have talked about that they're up to. But the most important thing for all of us to know is that what they were ultimately trying to do is convince us, the people that live above ground, that God is not real.
Well, Peter, why don't you take the time and give us the 13 points, and then I'll give you the time in the second hour, okay, for the wealth creation revelation. This is very important. If you have 13 okay. points, please give them.
Sure. Well, one of the actual good things that they've been doing is using their technology to stop countries, sovereign countries, from launching nuclear missiles. So this captain said that, you know, they've actually have derailed nuclear launches, or actually they even have initiated a nuclear launch, and then when the missile starts to leave the silo, it just dies.
Well, so, let me comment on that. The yeah. extraterrestrial presence has been giving warnings and hints to the powers that be that should they ever decide to engage in nuclear war or a first strike nuclear attack on another nation, they have clearly demonstrated, and this was in 1966 at Minot Air Force Base, where a UFO came over a missile silo, Minuteman missile silo, and went over 10 missile batteries and stopped and shot down lasers into the missile silos, disabled the missiles. And when the Boeing contractors came to reset and repair the missiles, they found a very disturbing thing. Not only had the missiles been disabled, but their targets had been changed. And the message was clear to me, to Washington. Washington, if you think that you're going to launch a first strike nuclear attack on Russia, don't be surprised if your missiles land on Washington or New York. And I believe they gave the same message to the Russians and to every nuclear power. And we have some really rogue nations that have nuclear power now, including Pakistan, North Korea, Red China. And Red China is hell-bent on expanding its nuclear missile capacity. They've said it. They see a coming war with the United States, and they know that right now they're behind us in the nuclear weapons field, and they are in a mad rush to build more nuclear weapons, which is why I say, pardon the expression, but we should kick their asses right now before they come up to par. And obviously, they have the intention of using, we don't have the intention of using it as a first strike weapon, but they have threatened Japan overtly this year. They said that if Japan comes in on the side of Taiwan, when they invade Taiwan, obviously, if they're warning them about intrusion in a Taiwan issue, they obviously have plans to take over Taiwan, that if Japan sides with Taiwan, they are going to unleash nuclear holocaust on Japan. My father used to say to me, Robert, if somebody in, you know, bullying gangs in New York City and visit, Robert, if somebody threatens to kill you, tells you they're going to get you, come and get you or kill you, don't let them walk away, because they will go away and they will come back and they will stalk you, and you'll be walking around paranoid, looking around every corner, worried about where they're going to jump from. If somebody tells you they're going to kill you, tell them to do it right now and confront them right there. And that's my attitude with China. They are bullies. They are a paper tiger, what they like to call other nations. So, Peter, go ahead, 4 more minutes for the rest of the points, and then we'll devote the opening of the second half.
Sure. Okay? Thank you. Sure. I'm going to keep on expanding on the concept that the elite and the aliens are trying to block convince us that God isn't real. So one of the things that the Department of Defense has been controlling is the Museum of Natural History. So I remember going there as a kid, like multiple times on a field trip, and they had that giant whale in the basement, and you get to see, you know, everything about human history. But what he said they do is anything that proves that God is real, they stick it in a box in a warehouse with an index number, and they yank it right out of the Museum of Natural History.
I used to play hooky to go to the Museum of Natural History, and I always came out smarter than if I'd gone to class. You've heard my stories about being caught playing hooky by Dorothy Kilgallen on Central Park South. But that's a very disturbing and sad thing to hear. And we're not happy with the Museum of Natural History because they are going to cooperate with the proposed COVID passports. And I was wondering how they could do that or why they would do that. And I said to my friend, does the city of New York own the American Museum of Natural History? Why should they obey de Blasio's mandate? They have no reason to do that, but you have just explained to me one of the possible reasons for it. The other thing that's very disturbing is that during the Obama administration, there was a purge of the military and the Marines, not that the Marines are not military, but I mean the Army and the Marines, and they would take our service people into a room and ask them whether or not they'd be willing to fire on American citizens. And if they said that they were not willing to fire on American citizens, they were ousted. And so apparently they have a large reservoir of, well, communist-oriented myrmidons, you know, people who just obey orders blindly, who are willing to fire on American citizens. But as strong as the U.S. military is, American citizens outnumber them by hundreds of thousands. But it's very disturbing that Biden made the comment that if people rebelled, that they'd have to deal with the U.S. military. And he said, we have tanks and F-16s. You know, that was in the news and then out of the news. I think we're hearing the first dulcet tones of the break. Folks, you're listening to Revolution Radio. I urge you to support Revolution Radio by going to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and make a contribution. More about that after the break. Thank you.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Mm-hmm.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia. Tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Free Manatee Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love. On Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome to the Flash Gordon Radio Club, where we extol the virtues of heroism and American violence. We continue now with the Purple Death from Outer Space.
Following in the wake of the dismantling of the world, with dictators, war, and rumors of war, a ravaging plague has visited the Earth.
Purple Death! Purple Death!
Stand back, please give me some room.
Purple Death.
The purple death that leaves only a purple spot on the forehead of its victim.
Watch me, watch me. Mysterious purple death brings to victory. Hundreds die. Watch me.
The world's greatest scientists have assembled to combat this mysterious malady.
The crowd outside is demanding news, Professor Bullock. There's nothing new that I can tell you, Professor.
Yes, the crowd outside is demanding news from Professor Gordon, father of Flash Gordon, whose Christian name was Robert Gordon. What a coincidence. Well, let's discuss this purple death that we've been dealing with, although a more appropriate name would be the black goo death. From outer space. this thing that we have been fighting is completely unnatural. There's a word for it. It's called a chimera. As we know now, it was a product of gain-of-function research sponsored by the World Health Organization, the Chinese government, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the FDA, the CDC, NIAID, the National Institute for Allergic and Infectious Diseases, the University of North Carolina, Harvard University, the Winnipeg BSL-4, that stands for Biosafety Level 4 Laboratories in Canada, which ousted 8 Chinese scientists, 2 professors, and 6 of their students. Hello?
Silence for the last 40 seconds.
Thank you. So now we have the revelation that Dr. Fauci lied. His emails have been exposed by Judicial Watch. Senator Rand Paul is on his tail and he's not letting go. The people are awakening to the fact that this purple death from outer space, the so-called COVID-19, was a very ingeniously but diabolically disguised caper, mixing and matching a contrived and bioengineered chimeric virus, confounding the people with influenza A and B. There are 7 universities in California suing the CDC and the FDA because they did tests on 15,000 people and not a single one showed signs of COVID. They had been designated as COVID victims, and all they found was influenza. Now, the real purple death from outer space, as I see it, is the mRNA vaccine, which over a year ago, I revealed to this audience, these audiences on Revolution Radio, to be no different in its mechanical application. It is Dr. Fauci. He's really angry at what I'm telling you. So there's no difference between the mRNA vaccine and HIV/AIDS. The outcome is exactly the same, autoimmune deficiency. I talked to you about Rita Shaw, 44 years old, a BBC reporter who died after suffering a brain swelling due to thrombocytopenia. I got news today again from Britain that a famous model named Mr. Lash, who lived on Cyprus, also died after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine. We have now data from Israel. 95% of the people who have come down with COVID are fully vaccinated. 85% of the people who are hospitalized and in critical condition are fully vaccinated. And still Joe Biden and the medical mafia in the United States is pushing this poison that contains graphene oxide, SM-102, a toxic poison, luciferase. For those of you who don't know what luciferase is, it's an enzyme that was derived from the study of fireflies, and it is an enzyme that makes it possible to create artificial illumination. When you talk about soul snatching, which a lot of us do believe this is geared to, it is truly diabolical that they are injecting something called luciferase into the veins of human beings that is altering their nature. I gave a report yesterday of observations here in New York with more and more people in manifesting spastic conditions, can't control their bodies, trembling, out of balance, If you look today at the Tucker Carlson report, he has a video report of the most horrible situations in our cities. I think he was showing Philadelphia, where people are just standing in the street, bent over at a right angle, collapsed on fences. The big die-off is beginning. The mass media and collusion is hiding it from everyone. So let me turn to Peter. Let's finish up the 13 points that you were making. Then we're going to take a little commercial break and talk about wealth creation, because we have to. We have to manage our wealth, because they are to strip it. First, they will steal everything you have and make you totally dependent on the government. But we Americans must remain independent in every possible way. So, Peter, let's finish 13 points, and then we'll go on to tell people how they can manage their resources more efficiently, more wisely.
Sure, sure. You know, I had a thought when you were talking earlier. I have an echo when I talk. Can you hear me echo?
No, it's not echoing anymore. I think the volume.
Okay. Great. So I had a thought when you were talking before. I shared about this video that I was talking of Washington's captain. You had mentioned that these aliens that are living underground, that one day they'd like to live among us. And then it dawned on me that, you know, they are trying to preserve the earth for something. Are they trying to preserve it for us, themselves, or both of us? And their big, their most important thing to them that they invest a lot of time in is to convince us that God isn't real. That is like the worst thing that could ever happen for them. So maybe what they want to do, and you, oh, what you mentioned was that they want, they don't want to be equals with us. They want to be our superiors. So maybe when they eventually present themselves to us, that they're going to try and convince us that they're our God.
Yes, that's a common theme. There was a series in the late 80s and 90s that was called V, which was precisely about this. It was about aliens coming in and, you know, sharing technology, but eventually taking over everything. Another one is They Live, the film by John Carpenter, which talks about the elites having access to this alien technology, including time travel and quantum jumps. So they always, they want to reveal to the public what they're going to do years ahead, so that there's a repository, a receptive space in the subconscious that will tell the person, that will make the person react with, oh, I had a feeling that was going to happen. The best example that I can cite right now, which is really concrete, is the Manchurian Candidate movie of 1962, which was about an assassin, a mind-controlled assassin, who was going to kill a presidential candidate. The mistake that most people make in watching the movie is mistaking the shooter for the Manchurian Candidate. The upshot of the movie in reality, when you study it, is that the sniper, Raymond Shaw, is actually the hero. He does kill the vice presidential candidate, but the vice presidential candidate is the Manchurian Candidate. He is the one who is the communist plant who is supposed to succeed to the presidency. The Manchurian Candidate is mind controlled to assassinate the presidential candidate, so that the vice presidential candidate, who is the communist plant, ascends to the presidency. But in the end, Raymond Shaw breaks his own mind control. He breaks out of it, and he's able to return to reality and see the diabolical plot to take over the United States by having a communist candidate usurp the presidency of the United States. Now, I said that this is the best example of this predictive programming because it took me 30 years to realize why I always had this really unusual feeling about the movie. I saw it as a young man in high school when it came out in the theaters, and I thought, this is a really good movie. It really makes you think, but there's something wrong with this movie. And I went to see it a second time, and when I saw it the second time, I said, I know what's wrong with this movie. They got an English actor to play an American Marine. Why didn't they get an American actor? I mean, there are hundreds of actors in Hollywood who were Marines, in fact. Lee Marvin was one of them. Lee Marvin was a U.S. Marine who fought in the Pacific and was actually shot in the back when during the invasion of Saipan. So why didn't they get an American to play it? And it always bothered me about that movie, why they got an English actor to play an American Marine. Well, 30 years later, 1996, I decided to review all the greatest assassination movies of all time. And they are Suddenly with Frank Sinatra, The Manchurian Candidate with Frank Sinatra, Behold the Pale Horse with Gregory Peck, and The Jackal with James Fox. Now, my consciousness has grown and my consciousness expanded over the many years, those 30 years. And when I viewed as an assignment, as an expert in the JFK assassination, I said, I better review all these movies, see if there's something in them. When I saw The Manchurian Candidate that time in 1996, when the titles were going up with the names of the stars, Frank Sinatra, Angela Lansbury, James Gregory, and introducing Lawrence Harvey as Raymond Shaw, when I saw his name, the letters, it was almost like a hallucination. His name, the L in Lawrence got really big. The A and the U and the R got small. The E in Lawrence got really big. The N and the C got small. The E in Lawrence got big, and I saw Lee Harvey. They got an English actor whose name, Lawrence Harvey, has embedded in the first name the word Lee. So that a year later, when they introduced the Patsy, the real American hero in the JFK assassination, Lee Oswald, who was an Office of Naval Intelligence informant, who was sent down there to infiltrate all the groups that were planning plots against President Kennedy. And he actually sent a warning telegram to all the FBI offices in the United States 2 days before, warning them that there would be an assassination attempt on President Kennedy in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. As long as I've opened up this can of worms, I'd like to say, over the last 60 years, MKUltra and the Deep State have perfected their methodology, their mind control methodology. And they have been able to use the same technique over and over and over again to misdirect the American public into coming to the wrong conclusions. And it always involves this. In all these false flag attacks, and they are the JFK assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, the Robert Kennedy assassination, the Ronald Reagan attempted assassination, the first Gulf War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf of Tonkin event, 9/11, they always involve a patsy. They lure someone into the plot, wittingly or unwittingly, and then they use them as the scapegoat. The scapegoat in the JFK assassination, Lee Harvey. The scapegoat in the Martin Luther King assassination, James Earl Ray. Martin Luther King did not die from the gunshot wound that he suffered to his neck. He was murdered in the hospital by Ku Klux Klan doctors who were in on the plot, who said, if he doesn't survive the shooting, bring him to St. Joseph's Hospital. We'll finish him off there. And a nurse who was there in the emergency room trying to save his life, they were all ushered out by, let's call them men in black, two men in black suits and a doctor. Get out. They told her to get out, and they shut the screen, the curtains. But she snuck back, and she saw them smother Dr. Martin Luther King with a pillow and then desecrate his body by spitting on it. Read the plot to murder Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. by Dr. William Pepper. I helped him by giving him evidence of the Ku Klux Klan role in that assassination. John Hinckley. John Hinckley was a patsy. He fired shots. But what went into Ronald Reagan was a very advanced weapon that was a new CIA assassination device. The Gulf War, the patsy, Saddam Hussein. He had weapons of mass destruction, but the weapons were those that the United States had given him to use against Iran during the war with Iran, which cost 1.8 million lives. And in 9/11, the patsies were the Muslim terrorists who did hijack the airliners. They did hijack the airliners. They did crash the aircraft into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon. But those crashes were not enough to bring down the building. The real killers was the deep state, who wanted the planes to crash, but they wanted the demolition to be complete, to be devastating. So they rigged it for controlled demolition. And a master builder, Donald Trump, he saw that. And he said, that can't have been done by airplanes. That had to be controlled demolition, as was Building 7. So let us recognize how the government, the deep state, utilizes mind control to kill people and make the public not really care because they really deserved it. So I would like to take this moment, since I'm talking about assassination, to read to you about Michael Jackson. I wrote an essay, it's on ufospotlight.org, and it's called Smooth Criminal, Why Michael Jackson Was Murdered by the Illuminati and the New World Order. Michael Jackson was killed by Hollywood and the New World Order Illuminati because he tried to warn the world then of what was coming and what in fact is here and now, including child trafficking, medical abuse and mass drugging of children, white slavery, with stark warnings of a corrupt criminal cabal of UN governments, plural, intent, hell-bent on consolidating a global tyranny. That was the main theme of his otherworldly film entitled Smooth Criminal, whose symbolism can only be appreciated now. On his last tour and in his film of the tour, which I luckily got to see, Michael Jackson began exposing the deep state's role in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy with some key lyrics of his songs referring to JFK's death and shooters on the grassy knoll. That is why Michael Jackson was cruelly murdered by the Illuminati, employing the same medical mafia that is now spreading mass death around the world. Of course, a massive and global character assassination campaign had to precede the murder so that no one would care. However, I still care for Michael Jackson and for his soul. In order to destroy Michael, the mass media, under the corporate control of the Hollywood Illuminati, cruelly turned on him like a pack of vicious hyenas and smeared him as a child molester, when the truth was quite the opposite. Sadly, as we have seen in recent years, in other instances of mass media's favorite modus operandi, using mind control and character assassination, millions of people fell for it. I would remind everyone that there were lawsuits as an integral part of the smear campaign, but there were never any criminal charges filed in any court, much less a trial. I emphasize that Michael Jackson died an innocent man. No crimes were ever charged or proven in a court of law. I consider his short film, Smooth Criminal, to be his best work and his most stark warning of a totalitarian plot against humanity that he and Quincy Jones foresaw long ago. I quote, in addition to being a standalone short film, Smooth Criminal became the centerpiece of Michael's most ambitious film project at the time, Moonwalker, a feature-length film that was released theatrically in various countries outside the United States. The United States was not allowed to see this film in theaters. In the smooth criminal portion of the film, Michael and his friends face off against the notorious drug lord, Mr. Big, played by Joe Pesci. And they attempt to foil his plot to get the children of the world hooked on drugs. Of course, in the end, Michael defeats the villain. After seeing in recent years what the fake news and op mockingbird mass media did to President Trump, General James Flynn, Roger Stone, and yes, even Andrew Cuomo most recently, and now with 600 prisoners of the January 6th rally incarcerated in Washington, and the unvaccinated being targeted and demonized in the same manner, I think that it is easier for people to understand what was done to Michael Jackson to ensure his death in such a manner that no one would care. But some still do, because what the fake news and the deep state did to Michael Jackson and others, they can do to any of us. I will turn it back to Peter or Andrew for comment. Andrew, you've been quiet for a while. You have a comment?
Yeah, Robert, how do we get this information across to people who can't even get over the fact that we're literally in a, you know, a complete scam here?
Yes.
You know, well, on a most basic level.
By Freedom Brigade. Folks, I want you to join the Morning Star Freedom Brigade. It's an offshoot of the Flash Gordon Radio Club. You've been around long enough to understand where we're coming from and where we're going. We are not going down without a fight. I've been indoctrinated by the U.S. Navy since my childhood. I was a Sea Cadet, a member of the John Paul Jones Division of the American Sea Cadets, or the American Nautical Cadets, as it later became. And his saying was, "I have not yet begun to fight." And the other one was his flag, which they're trying to criminalize, what's called the Gadsden flag. It says, "Don't tread on me." John Paul Jones flew that flag. Before America had the Stars and Stripes, there were a lot of flags. What is called the Gadsden flag, which is a snake on a yellow field, it says, "Don't tread on me." And so I say that to the Illuminati, to the New World Order, to the Manchurian candidate, Joe Biden, the pawn of Xi Jinping, who has Joe Biden in his back pocket, and a lot of the Congress. Today, I watched the effete, weakling, spineless Secretary of State, winking, blinking, and nod, Mr. Blinken, try to defend the Afghanistan situation before the Congress. He was raked over coals, but Chinese plants in the Congress, specifically Congressman Ted Lieu of California, was there in all his Chinese glory, trying to defend Biden and to cover Blinken for those disastrous decisions, which they're not. Listen, folks, everybody's saying, "No, he's senile. It's senility, incompetence, imbecility." Those are covers. This was by design. Joe Biden gave Afghanistan to the Chinese on a copper plate. And China has now taken over. The Taliban has said that China is their closest ally. China is moving into Bagram Air Force Base, where we left $90 billion worth of high-tech equipment. But it's my hope that the Chinese, in their typical racist, overbearing manner, will soon alienate the Taliban and turn their allies, quote unquote, into the enemies that they make of all their allies. A friend of mine once said, he's a World War II person, said to me about Japan, and the same goes for China. He said, "They never make a treaty with any country unless they're trying to betray them." And I saw that graphically depicted when China made a mutual friendship and economic cooperation treaty with the King of Nepal back in 1999 or 2000. I was watching as the predecessor, Jiang Zemin, predecessor of Xi Jinping, was glaring at the king of Nepal, reading the treaty that he was forced to sign. The king of Nepal was standing trembling. His arms were shaking. The paper was waving as he read this proclamation. And I looked at the face of Jiang Zemin in the background, and he was ferocious. And I said to myself, Jiang Zemin looks like a tiger who has already eaten this man. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, the king of Nepal was murdered by his son, who took a machine gun. He murdered his father, his mother, his family. And the claim was that they didn't approve of his girlfriend, that the woman he wanted to marry. So he picked up a machine gun and he wiped out the royal family. And King Gajendra, or Gajendra, took over, a very, very sinister looking person. And I think that that was a mind control operation, that the Chinese got their claws into the prince and they turned him into an assassin. So let us be aware, the enemy within is China. The enemy within are all the Chinese operatives that are owned, puppets, myrmidons of the Chinese government. Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, Ted Lieu, Joe Biden. That's my name for the guy you guys call Joe Biden. He's a Chinese plant. I have seen the contents of Hunter Biden's laptops. I have seen Hunter Biden raping Chinese girls that were tied and bound. I have seen Hunter Biden smoking crack till the smoke came out his ears, snorting cocaine. I have seen the contracts and the emails that Hunter Biden had with associates here in the United States who were working honestly with him, specifically a man named Mr. Babinski, who revealed his emails. And he was having money funneled from the Chinese to Hunter Biden, who was splitting it 50-50 with Mr. Big. And Mr. Big was Joe Biden. I'll turn it back to Peter Basilko or Andrew, if you want to comment.
Whoever else. Yeah, Robert, and don't forget the professor that my son has. They're everywhere, Robert. It's amazing. Hey, I wanted to mention something. You mentioned the movie, the TV series V, which also might have been a made-for-TV movie as well.
Yes, it was.
And John Carpenter's They Live.
They Live. Mm-hmm.
Don't forget the 1996 movie The Arrival with Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And Robert, before you make comment, I always found it curious that the 2016 movie Arrival by the Canadian filmmaker Denis Villeneuve chose to use the title Arrival, which would just conjure up memories of that film. You know, you got to wonder if there's something there that's trying to, you know, point a signpost, you know?
I felt the same way. Well, you know, why do they use the same name? Now, the interesting thing, and it might have some bearing on our current situation, the interesting thing about The Arrival with Charlie Sheen was that the global warming and pollution of the Earth was actually terraforming the Earth for alien occupation. It was making our atmosphere more conducive to their well-being while tending to end our well-being. The other thing I've said about this alien toxic witch's brew that they're injecting into people, I know that people died from exposure to aliens. At Roswell, two doctors, a nurse, died from some infection from exposure to the bodies. And other people who have had contact with aliens, for example, abductees who have been forcibly raped. That's what they do. Aliens rape human women. And afterwards, both men and they rape men and they rape women. They only talk about the women on TV, but they take men and extract semen specimens from them. Very often they wind up with rashes and illnesses as a result of the contact with these aliens. And I have said to myself, one other possibility of the mRNA vaccine is to alter our human nature, to make us immune, not to COVID-19, but to make us immune to something that the aliens are carrying, and to transmogrify our nature to be more sexually compatible with aliens, if that is, that may be part of the plot. Cull the herd, and of the ones that survive, weaken us. I think it's diabolical to force mandatory vaccination on our troops. What greater Trojan horse can you imagine than to have a toxic brew injected into our soldiers that, if it doesn't kill them, will debilitate them? And this has already happened. This happened in the first Gulf War. I've told before that George Bush and his administration, they bought a multi-vector vaccine that had been developed and tested in Texas, developed by a Chinese scientist named Li Shiqing. This vaccine was tested in the Texas penitentiary system. It was administered to inmates, and they got sick. Shortly thereafter, the guards started to present the same illness without having received that vaccine. Shortly thereafter, the wives of the guards started to present the same illness, and the wives of the guard began to complain of the sense of burning semen in their wombs after intercourse with the guards. And I believe that that was the first instance of shedding, which is now happening. There is no Delta virus, or there is no Delta variant. The shedding, the spike protein, is the Delta variant. They are self-contaminating themselves and others. But folks, I don't want to make this all doom and gloom. I'm working with a large group of scientists who are working on antidotes to save the unvaccinated by warning them first and foremost, but to save those who are vaccinated. We are finding remedies that prevent the spike protein from spiking. So have faith for all the diabolical genius of the enemy within. We have angelic genius on our side. For all of the machinations of artificial intelligence, we have organic intelligence on our side. That's what we work with here. Let me turn to Peter. And perhaps, Peter, if you want to comment on what I've said, you may do so. Or if you want to take a break and have a little commercial interlude right now, I'll start it off. Actually, let's go to wealth creation. First of all, Revolution Radio needs wealth, you know, to keep going. We need help to keep the broadcast going. It's very easy to go to Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com and make a PayPal or a Patreon donation. You can go to the store and buy something there. And I'd like to thank one of our patrons. We have several patrons, but we have one patron. Her name is Christina, and she has made the first monthly contribution to keep the Morningstar Report, the Right Stuff, and the Flash Gordon Radio Club going through globalpeacemedia.org. That is the tax-exempt organization. So if you, any donation you make via globalpeacemedia.org/morningstarreport.html is tax deductible. So let me turn to Peter, who has another avenue of wealth creation. And so he's going to speak to us now. Wealth creation.
Thank you, Robert. So for new listeners who haven't heard me before, I've been a financial advisor or worked in financial services for the past 25 years. I've written a book called The Wealth Creation Revelation, What Banks and Brokers Don't Want You to Know. That book's available on Amazon, but I am willing to send a free PDF of the book to any listener that calls me or emails me. And in about 4 minutes, I'm going to give my email address and my phone over the air So you can text me on that number. Just say you heard me on the radio. You'd like to get a free copy of my book, and I'll make arrangements to have the free PDF sent to you. Or you can email me. So a quick blurb about my book. The cool thing about it is there's a wealth creation system in it that will show you how to be about 40% or more efficient in the current financial system that we have. And I think in everyone's subconscious or the back of our minds, we know a collapse is coming. There's a lot of systemic risk in our system, especially with all the money printing going on and the financial engineering. But I can't predict when that's going to happen. That could be tomorrow. It could be 5 years from now. But I think we'll all agree that this system is unsustainable. So in the book is a wealth creation formula that's really simple to implement, and it will make you more efficient in the current system. But the really cool thing is when there is a collapse, your wealth is going to skyrocket. So it's going to help you transfer your wealth into the next system and even have a lot more wealth than you had now. So that's it, what I love about my book. And so about current events, I have been issuing a stock market warning, called a pullback, a crash. There's enough systemic risk to take the market down 90%. You know, we could be looking at stuff from like 1928 to 1933 in front of us. And so the corporate debt bubble is huge. And if interest rates rise too much, corporations are going to have a major problem on their hands. They've been borrowing money at close to 0% interest for decades since the financial crisis, and using that money, that cheap money, to buy their own stock back. And that's been engineering their stock price higher, their earnings per share higher, because they've been reducing the amount of shares in the open market, but it's been building this huge corporate debt bubble. So we have a huge corporate debt bubble in the United States and globally, and we also have a huge government debt bubble. And the bankers reinflated the housing market. They're back to 0% and 3% mortgages, down payments on mortgages. So the new generation of people that have young families and they went and bought houses, their houses go down 5% and they have negative equity in their house. And they lose their job. You're looking at the same thing that we saw in 2008 and 2009, combined with a corporate debt bubble and a government debt bubble. So just to give you a little tip before I end my segment, something really cool. I've been trying to think of something I could do for, the common person. Like, how can I protect myself from the inflation that's coming? I'm worried. It's difficult to keep cash in my house because I live paycheck to paycheck. I mean, this is the story of most people. So about a month ago, I don't know how I came across it, but if you look at the melt value, so if you take a U.S. penny or you take a U.S. nickel, mint, this is U.S. currency, it's legal. And this is how you use the system against the corrupt creators of the system, right? Because they keep us trapped in the system, but there's always an angle for you as an individual to manipulate the system against them. So in nickels minted up to 2014, right? If you melt that nickel, it's worth 6 cents. So if you go and buy silver or gold from a gold dealer, they're raping people right now. They're charging like $120 premium on a gold coin. I'd never paid those premiums in my life. They're just taking advantage of everybody's fear and demand for tangible gold right now because of COVID and the inflation. And they're charging these huge markups. And I always stayed away from stuff like that with my clients. So I always looked to find something efficient. You could collect nickels or you could collect pennies that were minted before 2014. A penny minted before 2014 has a melt value of 282% profit. Now, I want to say,
Peter, you cannot. Peter, I'd like to mention that's strictly against the law.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
That's hypothetical.
All right. I was just about to say that. I was just about to tell listeners that you can't go and melt and destroy U.S. currency. But my point here is that intrinsically, you're holding you. There's no transaction cost in collecting these pennies or nickels, so you don't have to pay a broker or anything like that. And you're picking up the intrinsic value and you're sitting on it. And so what you, if the financial system was to completely collapse and you had $1,000 or $2,000 in today's money worth of these pennies or nickels, we could run a local currency. You know, these pennies and nickels could be revalued by the federal government. Or they could just be accepted in a local government to be worth more than they are. So something that you could do is a little insurance policy. Just pick yourself up $1,000 worth of these older pennies and nickels and just keep them around your house. And what I like about this idea better than cryptocurrency, see, a penny or a nickel is already legal currency. Cryptocurrency is not, right? So we have all the force of central bankers and the elite that are going to try and crush cryptocurrency. They're going to try and crush your ability to use it to do transactions with, no matter, you know, what's happening with MasterCard or all these different scenarios that you hear. Everybody gets excited. Cryptocurrency is going, you know, is becoming legalized. Yeah, right. Let me know the day that you have the philosopher's stone, that you can print money from nothing. You control the government, you control politics, you control the voting laws, and you're going to allow cryptocurrency to take that power away from you. There's going to be a fight, right? So, but with this idea, it's perfectly legal. You're setting yourself up for the future to possibly have these coins be revalued. You might be able to sell them on the market for more, because there's a market of people doing the same thing, that they're betting one day that the government is going to take the penny out of circulation and it will not be legal currency anymore and you'll be able to melt it. There's thousands of people that are storing pennies in their house right now for this reason. So there's my tip for the day. If anybody has questions about stuff like this, I'm going to give out my phone number and I'm going to give out my email address. You can talk to me about owning tangible assets like silver, gold, pennies, nickels, that type of thing. But be careful, do your research, because the newer nickels and pennies, just like the Roman Empire, they keep on diluting the amount of precious metal that is in a new currency. So it's the sign of a failing empire. It happens very slowly. It happened in Rome. It's happening here. So be careful, do your research, make sure the coins that you're buying with the date on them, there's plenty of websites out there, coinflation.com. They have all the different dated coins with all of the precious metal percentages that are inside them. And I'll give you an example, like a nickel, it's actually 92% silver and only 8% nickel. But like I said, you got to go back before 2014. So I'm going to give out my phone number and I'm going to give out my email address. If you'd like a copy of my book, because you want to learn about the split wealth creation formula, just email me or text me. I'll send you a free copy. If you want a free consultation on how to implement the plan in your life, you could call me. The discussion is free. So my phone number is 631-383-4685. I'm going to repeat it. That number again is 631-383-4685. Or you can email me at win.capital with an A-L at outlook.com. And I'll spell that out for you. win.capital, C-A-P-I-T-I-A-L, at outlook.com. So that's the wealth creation report for the day. And I'll pass the mic back to Robert.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear you speak about the coins, because I've been a coin collector for a very long time. The art is called numismatics, and a person who collects coin is called a numismatist. And just as an example, I was researching coins recently, and I found out that a Benjamin Franklin dollar, silver dollar from 1950, if it's in good shape, and by good shape, it has to do with the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell has a crack and three horizontal lines in the Liberty Bell. So if the specimen of a Benjamin Franklin silver dollar has the crack in the Liberty Bell visible and the three lines, it's worth up to $2,000. And I am an avid collector of John F. Kennedy half dollars. And I'm very lucky I inherited. My mother was an avid gambler. She used to love to go to Atlantic City to the Trump Casino. And my mother, God bless her soul, had the most amazing luck with slot machines. And she would go to the Trump Casino and come back with buckets, literally buckets of John F. Kennedy half dollars. I remember one day we went up to the Fox Casino, an Indian casino in Connecticut. And, I took $20 and, cashed it in for coins. And we were walking around. I lost everything. But about 10 minutes after we'd gotten there, 15 minutes after we'd gotten there, I walked out in an aisle. And I looked at my mother, and she was standing in the aisle. She was just laughing and laughing and laughing. And we went over. What's going on? She says, I won. And she won $1,000. So on the way home, a friend of us who was in Connecticut had gone there, and he'd lost some money, and I'd lost some money. And so she said, I'm going to give you back all your money. I just had so much fun gambling here today that she gave my friend back all he'd lost. She gave me 20 bucks. But the sight of her standing in the aisle, just laughing her head off after having been there 15 minutes, because she had a knack for choosing the right machine. And there's a scene in this movie with Mickey Rooney called Atomic Kid, where he's exposed to the atomic bomb and he survives it and he's all radioactive. And he goes to Las Vegas and he's walking past the slot machines and all of them are just spilling out bucks. But anyway, that's fantasy. But coin collection is a very rewarding art. I have a lot of Indian head nickels and buffalo nickels and Indian head pennies. And I tell you, I love the Mercury dime. The Mercury dime is one of the most beautiful faces that was ever engraved. A really beautiful work of art. So collect your pennies, collect your nickels, collect your quarters. It's real money, good stuff. So let me turn to Andrew. We have about 5 minutes left in the program. So let me turn to Andrew and see if he wants to sum up something or give us insight. He always does. Oh, before, one more. I have to make a plug. We have to be impartial in radio. We can't always be on one side of the political spectrum. So I'd like to say to all our listeners in California, I hope and pray that you will get rid of Gruesome Newsom tomorrow and elect Larry Elder to be the first Black governor of California. By the same token, I'd like to say that there are Democrats that I respect and I admire. And to the people of West Virginia, I think you have the best senator in the whole Democrat Senate, and that is Joe Manchin. So to be even and fair and balanced, as they like to say on TV, I support Larry Elder for the governor of California, and I support Joe Manchin, because Joe Manchin may be the one vote that saves this nation from going to perdition. They want to slam this $3.5 trillion boondoggle on us, and he seems to be the only Democrat in the Senate who has common sense and common decency and is not part of the communist cabal that is trying to impose communism on us. Communism, the enemy within, takes over countries by destroying their cultures and their economies, and after that, taking over their police departments and their military to enforce it. The Germans did not lose World War I. There would have been no Hitler if Kaiser Wilhelm, the king of Germany, Kaiser Wilhelm, if he had negotiated the Versailles Treaty, there would have been no Adolf Hitler. But in the last month, when the armistice was signed, armistice is not surrender. It's even Steven, stalemate. But in the month between November 11th, 1918, and December, when the peace conference was to start, there was a communist insurrection in Germany. Antifa, yes, Antifa ran wild in Germany. They murdered mayors, Gauleiters, those are governors, bureaucrats. They put terror in, they destroyed the economy, and they sent socialists to negotiate the peace treaty in Versailles. And the socialists, communists, the Weimar Republicans, were the ones who sold out Germany to the Allies at the peace conference, causing the vast depression in Germany in the 1920s, which led to the rise of Adolf Hitler. And that was another form of socialism, which you can see crashed and burned and destroyed more than 40 million people. So forewarned is forearmed. Let's be aware of the enemy within. Peter, thank you very much. And Andrew, you have 2 minutes to sum up the show.
Yeah, Robert, it was something that you mentioned earlier about the vaccines. And I wanted to just touch on one thing. You know, with the young people, sort of millennial generation, and I mentioned my son and all the young kids, they are so addicted to technology. You got to kind of wonder if some of this messenger RNA technology is pushing us towards a time when they are really going to just outright say, hey, we can augment you and these shots are good for that. And, you know, I'll give you an example. A story just came out today talking about the prospect of recreating woolly mammoths and returning them to the wild. Now, they're actually going to do this. They've gotten a $15 million boost, which is raised by a bioscience and genetics company called Colossal.
Yes.
And they're literally going to try to do this in the next several years. And you just got to wonder if there's a plan, you know, kind of coming back to this idea of hybridizing us or something. Yeah.
Let me say this, a quick comment. In 1999, I found out about a genetic replication program to reincarnate Ramesses II.
Oh boy.
They have the DNA of Ramesses II, the mummy, and they want to reanimate the mummy to bring him back to life. That is a trick. Okay, folks, thank you for joining us at the Flash Club Radio Club. And you can contact me at robertmorningstar@protonmail.com. Thank you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. Can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time across the dimension.